episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off a select mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. Molecule. For $75 off your first order, visit molecule.com and enter the promo code Andrew. That's MOLEKULE.com and the promo code Andrew. What the heck? Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Thurrott. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I'm back in my studio.
Yes.
And I'm dressed like a bad YouTuber.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Hey, guys. Andrew Zarin here. I'm going to give you the top 10 reasons why Paul Thurrott sucks. Number one. My wife calls this my bad kid outfit, and that's because I've gained so much weight in the last year. I don't fit into anything.
Andrew, I could lose as much weight as you weigh, and I wouldn't even notice it.
You got a haircut, so you did lose some sort of weight.
Yeah, I got a little too much cut, as you noticed.
Yeah, you shaved your head. Very upset by this. I was very hurt by your decision to cut off.
Woman who did this, and at the hair cutters, they have like a digital file or something that tells them how I want my hair cut.
Oh.
And she had never done it before. So I think she could tell she screwed it up because she kind of looked at it. She's like, well, I did what it said to do. And I said, what did it say to do? And she said, it says the top's supposed to be finger length. And I said, yeah, not finger width.
I mean, honey, this is where they groan.
I was like, I would have said previously, you couldn't cut my hair too short, but you've proven me wrong.
It's okay. It's only hair.
Yeah, it's only going to take months to come back.
Yeah, it's only going to take months of this.
Well, I'm going to have to like keep trimming the sides until the top is, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to go like to the hair cutters and ask them to do like a, what do you call it? Like just cut
fade?
The sides.
Yeah, do a
just
fade.
Do the monk cut.
Why don't you do the Zarian? Just go and ask for the Zarian. You'll come out looking like a magician. That's what I tell them. I'm like, you see this guy, and I just hold a random magician out, and I go, this is the look I want. They go, no problem, you got it. We do have a lot to talk about today. As you can see, I'm back in my studio, and I think after the show, I'll announce what's been going on. A lot's been going on. They're still working on my house, by the way, so that's not sure. Over. That part of my life will stay forever. And they just put up tile in my kitchen, and the foreman came. He goes, yeah, we're going to have to break this all down. It's wrong. So, and this is the entire problem. I mean, it's a nightmare. But today there was an Apple event in Brooklyn, out of all places, in New York. So I'm curious. It was interesting that they held it in New York.
Yeah, they did an education event, remember, in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now so they're trying to pretend that other parts of the country exist.
Yeah. Well, you mean San Francisco's not the pinnacle?
I was like, we love New York. Woo! You know, shut up.
No, you don't. You don't love New York. We get it. Yeah. You don't love New York. Yeah. Paul, what's been going on with you? Anything new? Because we really haven't spoken much, and I feel like we've...
Yeah, Andrew, since we last talked, I had a third child. I sent him to college.
Yeah.
We changed houses again. We live in a different part of the country. No, I don't know. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a lot. It's been tremendous, actually. I feel like we don't do shows at all anymore. But listen, a lot of that is changing. I promise you guys, a lot of that is changing. I do want to get to the content, but before we continue, I want to talk about our great sponsor, and that's Molecule. Listen, before I go and I start explaining everything to you, I got the glass, the smart thermostat, which I'm doing a review about, and it constantly, in a panic, tells me my air quality is poor in my house.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is, so, Andrew. You've got
5,000 things happening. So I actually, even when it's settled, like they didn't come for like a couple days, even with all the cleaning I did,
it was still telling me it was poor. And that has to do with the fact that this is a very old house. It's very dusty. And I have one of the worst environmental allergies you can imagine. I actually went and got, I was going to this doctor, and he's like a life modification guy when I was doing my diet. And he took my blood work. And they give you, they tell you everything. I mean, they check for, it's like some crazy test. And they check for everything. And they told me I have one of the worst environmental allergies that he has ever seen. I'm always stuffy. I'm always, my eyes are always on fire. And I was kind of looking for an air purifier when he told me this. And I had no idea Molecule existed. And I'll tell you why. Molecule is the world's first molecule air purifier that reduces the symptoms of allergy and asthma sufferers. And you get $75 off your first order when you go to molecule.com and you enter the promo code Andrew when you check out. That's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. And you enter the promo code Andrew at checkout. Let me repeat that again. It's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. And you enter the promo code Andrew at checkout. So this is actually amazing. The way that it does, it replaces the antiquated technology of a HEPA filter, which, you know, air conditioners, HVAC units, your well, pretty much all, most air conditioners have some sort of HEPA filter installed in them, which it does capture the allergens. But the way that this works is that it goes beyond what HEPA does. It actually captures both and eliminates allergens, mold, bacteria, viruses, airborne chemicals, and that includes 1,000 small pollutants that a HEPA filter would never catch. These are great devices. These are great looking devices, and I highly, highly recommend it. I placed the order for mine a couple days ago, actually. When was it? Probably Friday. And I'm looking forward to getting it and kind of cleaning this place as much as I can. By the way, it's a sleek design. You're not going to be ashamed to have this in your house. It's not gross like some other air purifiers that are a total eyesore. It's a slick aluminum shell, and you can subscribe to a subscription service where your filters are delivered to your door exactly when you need it. This is a great service. Absolutely love it. Great product. That's molecule.com. That's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. And you enter the promo code Andrew at checkout to save $70 off your first order. I want to thank these guys because someone like me, that's allergic to everything, is in desperate need to clean up what's in their air. Paul, you're in a new house, but is it dusty? Like, do you have that problem like I do? Because I'm always dying.
No, we have what we have is a pet dander problem because we have two cats.
Yeah,
and a dog. Helped.
Yeah,
the dog generates dog hair tumbleweeds for some reason. They blow around the house like we're in the high desert. These little black balls. And then the cats are in such a constant state of stress now because of the dog that they're just shedding hair.
Well, I mean, you can hear me. I'm very nasally today, and it's not my New York, yeah. Well, Long Island accent.
Sick too. That's,
Let's get started with this Apple announcement. A couple of products were announced. Where do you want to begin? You want to start with the Mac Mini? After all these years, the Mac Mini has been updated with a quad-core processor.
You know, I have to say, Apple has waited so long to update certain Macs that for them to come out and kind of cheer, rah, rah them today, I think was a little inappropriate. You know, they've really shown a lot of disrespect to their own products and to the people that use them and want new versions, you know. So I'm interested that you picked the Mac Mini first. I would say that this is probably the least problematic of the products they announced today.
Okay.
Although there are problems, you know, starting price is on the high side, especially for a Core i3.
Yeah.
With 8 gigs of RAM and 120 gigs of storage. You know, okay. At least it's not a Y series processor, I guess, but it seems odd they didn't start with the Core i5. I think that would have been more acceptable at that price point. Still high, but it's Apple. We get it.
What were they starting with before? Was it the dual core?
Yeah, it would have been a dual core, 3-4 gen old Core i5, I'm sure.
I mean, by the way, you're not making a joke there. It was significantly outdated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry if that wasn't clear. Yeah, it was really outmoded. You know, they've gone in a weird direction with this product, because you could really spec it out with crazy specs. You know, i7, 32 gigs of RAM, lots of storage. You could spend thousands of dollars on one of these things if you want.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a 799 Core i5 and a 999, what I would call an acceptable configuration.
And then you go up from there.
Yeah, and it's really more than that. You know, if you spec, because of the way they do it, what I would get if I was going to buy a Mac Mini would be a Core i5, which you can't get, 16 gigs of RAM, and 256 gigs of storage. So if you configure that out with an i7, which is your only option, I believe you're looking at about $1,299.
Let me see. Let me spec this out. Why don't we spec this out? Let's go buy. We're going to do this live on the air, guys. So this is how they started off. It's a 3.6 gigahertz quad-core processor, 128 gigs of storage, and that's an i3 quad-core. Now, I don't know. By the way, again, I'm not that familiar with the HN i3s, so I don't know how good of a processor that is.
Yep.
Okay. So that, and then, by the way, 8 gigs of RAM and Intel Graphics 630 chipset in there.
I guess if you kind of accept that this is at least as good as like a dual core i5 was a few years ago.
Sure.
I mean, I suppose you could say 16 gigs of RAM with this thing and 256 is $1,200, and that's not horrible.
So the
the next option is insane. It's a 6-core
i5.
Where do you see the i5?
6-core i5. It's a 3 gigahertz 6-core HGen i5.
I don't see the setting. What are you looking at?
On the Apple website.
What?
On Apple's website.
There is no i5.
I know. Well, that's what it says. I'm reading that right now.
Where do you see this?
We're talking about the Mac Mini, right?
Yep.
Okay. Clicked on Mac Mini.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. It's a different. Oh, I see. Oh, I see. When you start with the base one, you can't go to an i5. They actually don't give you the option to go to an i5 from the i3. Oh, mm-hmm. There is one. I apologize.
Yeah, you can't build to an i5 with that model.
Okay, so this one. Oh, and it is 16. So actually, this is the model I want. Okay, there you go. $1,300. This is exactly what I was talking about. I apologize.
Okay, so
I didn't realize
this is just based on without customization, right? They're giving you two options here: 3.6 gigahertz quad core i3, and a 3 gigahertz 6-core i5 for $1,000.
Let's make this a little more reasonable, because I think a lot of people would say I didn't even know a 6-core i5 existed. So
I didn't either.
A 6-core Intel Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM, which I think a lot of people would be okay with. I would want 16, but let's say 8.
Okay.
By the way, you got to remember, you got to get this right the first time, right? You can't fix this later.
Yeah. Like, listen, right? You can't go back. You can't be like me and you knock out the tiles that you just put in.
Yeah, but you can actually take 8 gigs off. So you can save $200. So 8 gigs of RAM and 256 is $1,100, right? Now this, it's expensive. I think you got to accept a 20-something percent increase over whatever other product to get to the Mac. But honestly, $1,100?
It's okay.
It's not bad. And that's, I didn't even know this one existed. And, when you presented this up front, I was kind of like, well, look, of the products they announced, the Mac Mini is the one that makes the most sense to me. So this even makes more sense.
So let's build it out. Let's go to a i7, right? 6-core i7.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I really don't think you're going to see that much of a performance difference.
You can go to 64 gigabytes, or excuse me,
I said 32. Let's go to 16 gigs of RAM. Let's go to 16 gigs of RAM. Mm-hmm. Let's go to 512 SSD. We got the gigabit inside. So I'm at $1,699. I'm at $1,700.
The one I would buy costs $1,300.
Okay. It's not bad.
And this is a perfectly acceptable configuration.
So yeah,
this is good.
That's why I was very interested in this. So that's fine. Whatever. There's no flash with this thing. If you are looking for a Mac and you don't want to get a laptop for I don't know what reason.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want to carry it.
If you don't want to carry your computer, I guess you can carry this, right? You could.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, yeah. So, but this price is interesting because you got to the thing I just configured, which is a Core i5, 16 gigs of RAM, 256, $1,299. $1,299. Sorry. Compare that to what you would spend on a MacBook Air now. And okay, this seems reasonable, and the MacBook Air looks insane.
So the other big announcement was, and this is the big, big one, right? It's not the iPad. It's the new MacBook Air. A lot of people were saying that the MacBook Air was dead. They were killing it off. It was going to be gone. There was no point to a MacBook Air in their lineup since you have the Pro and then you got the MacBook. The Air was dead, but it's not. They are continuing with the Air, and they gave it the updates that it should have gotten about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You have a Retina display now. Updated processors. Obviously, you got the HN i5, i7s in that machine. You got Thunderbolt 3 ports, Force Touch trackpad, brand new graphics card. So the starting price is $1,200, $1,199.
Yeah, that's tough. And here's the there are some things about this product I really, really like. You know, if you had said to me a year or two ago, or actually, if you said to me a week ago, we're going to make a MacBook, but it's going to be 13 inches. It's going to replace the MacBook Air. What do you expect from this product, right? Obviously, you expect it to look exactly like the MacBook. You would hope that they would have at least two USB-C ports, which they do, and they're Thunderbolt 3, which is fantastic. I wish one was on each side of the device. I think one of the nice things about multiple ports that can be used for power is you get that option. So if, you know, you're lefty, maybe you want to have the power cable on the right or whatever. You know, it's too bad they didn't do that, but okay. You know it's going to have that keyboard. There's nothing you can do about this. You know it's going to have the trackpad. That's fine. The trackpad's good. It has to have a Retina display, which it does.
Which it does, yeah.
Smaller bezels, which it does, right? All of that stuff is fine. But the thing that it has to have that it doesn't, and this is the thing that kills me, well, two things. It has a Y-series processor, which is garbage. And the price is more expensive. You know, to me, like, this thing had to hit the price. It had to be the $999 device for this base configuration.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is there are a couple of things I didn't expect them to add to this device, right? The Touch ID button for logging in, which is wonderful. And also, for whatever it's worth, it's a little goofy, but the black bezel around the screen, right? Hmm. Remember the MacBook Air has always had that aluminum colored big bezel. It was like super noticeable. Not only the bezel's smaller, but because they're black, they kind of disappear into that whole panel, you know?
Yeah.
It's a nice effect, and it's more like the MacBook Pro products. And so in some ways, this thing is kind of better than expected, than better than we could reasonably expect. But in some really important ways, it's worse, you know, than we could reasonably expect.
Sorry, I had to sneeze there. So I'm looking at this. It is in between going from a MacBook to a MacBook Pro. It literally is exactly what the placement of it is in their lineup. You could still purchase their $1,000 MacBook Air. Still, it's a fifth gen Intel.
I know. Is it still $1,000? Is that the right price?
Yep, $1,000.
That's amazing. That's just so much money for that. I really thought we were going to see a 12-inch MacBook update to slightly newer processors and a price cut so that this thing could start at $1,000.
Yeah. And couldn't do it. Well, it does start at $1,000, Paul. You could buy an old one. You can buy one that's 3 years old.
It's deceptively worse than that, right? So it's very easy to look at the number and say, well, $1,200 is $200 more than you were expecting. It's $200 more expensive. It's not. The MacBook Air until this product had a U-series processor in it, right? U-series processors today are quad-core parts. They get amazing battery life and performance. By the way, I'll show you a computer. This is an HP EliteBook X360, right? Like the new MacBook Air, it is significantly smaller than the 13-inch laptop that it replaces. Like the MacBook Air, it weighs 2.75 pounds, right? Unlike the MacBook Air, you get full-size HDMI, two USB-C ports, and a full-sized USB port.
Paul, is that the replacement to mine?
Yes, it almost certainly is. Yeah.
Can I see the display on that? Is the bezel smaller?
The display. How would I show you the display? Let's see.
Yeah, like, is it, well, is the bezel small than what the one that I have?
I don't remember. I mean, I'd have to look at it.
Let me see the front of that baby.
I would say the side bezels are very small.
And oh, yeah, they are. It is much smaller. Yeah, it is much smaller. Yeah. That's a beautiful laptop.
Yeah. But it achieves for this product line what the new Air does to the Air, you know, which is, you know, smaller, lighter, thinner, whatever. But I think in a much more reasonable way because it has all of the, you know, the other stuff. You know,
yeah.
One of the things that MacBook Air users probably do cherish, and I'm sure Apple got this feedback, was the USB ports, you know. And I get it. They're driving forward, you know. I'm okay with the two USB-C. I get it. I fully expected that. Hoped for that. Actually, one would have been horrible. But again, putting them on either side of the machine would have been much better.
Yeah. So that was the announcement for the MacBook Air. And the iPad Pro was updated. They gave us a new iPad Pro. New form factor. Got rid of Touch ID. Replaced it with Face ID. Like I had predicted. A lot of people said that wasn't happening, but you could see it, you know, written in the future.
This one is weird to me because unlike the two things we just talked about, this product was not in need of a replacement right away.
No. Do you know what it looks like to me? The sides of this thing?
It looks like the iPhone 5 or 4.
An iPhone 5. There you go. An iPhone 5. That's it. I mean, it's actually wild how much it resembles. I actually have one here.
They just released the 10.5-inch iPad Pro last summer, I think it was, last year anyway. And I think they could have gone until next summer before they did this. This is a very rare thing for me, for Apple to not, you know, to move too quickly, right? Given the stuff we've just been talking about. MacBook Air and the MacBook Mini have been languishing for many years without any upgrades at all. And the other thing we've learned this year, which is fascinating to me, is that after years of iPad sales falling year over year, not slowing, right? Falling. They were able to reverse it this year because they released a less expensive iPad, right?
Isn't that amazing?
What they discovered was if we lower the prices on this thing, people might actually buy them again.
Well, they also were very proud to say that the iPad outsold the PC market.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a refrigerator that has outsold a toaster too, but whatever. Yeah. Whatever. But
I thought that was the best part. They're like, and you could see the iPad sales are destroying HP, and then they list all the PC manufacturers next. So
I'm going to make a version of that chart. I'm going to ruin the joke right now. And a version of that chart that also shows Apple's laptop sales on that chart because they're all the way down the end.
Yeah.
And this is an unfair comparison because what they're describing is a computer whose average selling price is about $400 outselling real computers whose average selling prices are much higher than that and are completely different kinds of devices, right? The fact that there's a bigger market for a consumption device than a productivity device should not be surprising to anybody. The iPads that people are buying are not iPad Pros. If they were, Apple wouldn't be revving them this quickly.
Well, no, so the same for the MacBooks, right? A couple months ago, we were discussing... I got a lot of crap for it because I said, well, nobody, and I'm quoting myself. I said, nobody is buying the new MacBook Pros. And my explanation was, you know, look in the real world. I don't see any 15-inch MacBook Pros in the wild. It's a rarity. There's one guy, he's a principal that goes to the bar that I go to after work. He hates everybody in his life. And he sits there and he has a MacBook Pro. And we talk about it all the time. And he absolutely hates this thing. He hates the keyboard. But he's the only person that I have come in contact with. And I'm out every day in the wild, in New York, in a major market, by the way. A major market. All I see is MacBook Airs, MacBooks, and the new 13-inch without the touch bar.
Yeah.
And 5,000, you know, older MacBooks. I see tons of the old ones.
Here's the irony to this. Slipping back to the MacBook Air for a moment, because you mentioned this. I've been saying for years, you know, if Apple just would release a new iPad Air, I'm going to buy it immediately. I don't care what it is. And then I spec this thing out the way I wanted it. And I was like, there's no way I'm spending this much money on a MacBook Air. This is ridiculous. And the side effect of that kind of thing is that it makes a product I previously decided I was not going to buy more viable, by which I mean the MacBook Pro. Mm. So if you compare, and it might be interesting to do this, a MacBook Air with a MacBook Pro with similar specs.
A 13-inch MacBook Pro, you're saying?
Yeah. The MacBook Pro is going to look a lot better because that's a real processor. Well, and if you move up to the Touch Bar version, you get four of those ports.
And dude, it's a quad core in the.
That's what I mean. It's a real chip.
Yeah, but, well, you're going to spend $17.99 on it.
That's do you want something that's going to be okay for the next year or two, or do you want something that's going to be okay for the duration? I mean, there's a case to be made. But if you go back to the iPad Pro, which, you know, is a little bit like Windows 10S. It's like this thing that's going to make sense down the road, and it's not there yet. And depending on some limited needs you might have, maybe it will work for you as a productivity device, and God love you if that's true. But there's a lot of weird stuff going on with this product too. So for example, they got rid of the lightning port for charging. They're using a USB-C port on this for the first time, right?
Now, that's USB-C interesting.
It is interesting. You know what else they got rid of on this thing? Did you see this?
No, which one?
There's no headphone jack.
Yes.
So here's the problem. Apple makes an excellent lightning to USB, lightning to headphone jack dongle. Mm-hmm. And when I say excellent, what I mean by excellent is, yeah, no one likes dongles. But the thing is, it actually works every single time. It works. I've gone through all kinds of USB-C dongles, different phones. I have horrific problems with these things. Reliability problems, quality problems. It's horrific. Google's had to release two revs of their own dongle because of battery life issues. Like, you would plug it into your phone and it would actually hurt the battery life of the device.
Wow.
Does Apple even have a USB-C to microphone or to a headset, you know, adapter? I don't even know if they have one. You know, like, what weird collection of wires do you need as an Apple user now to have the latest and greatest?
Okay,
you have
so
to have
Google
all this
has
different
one.
Crap with you.
Google has
yeah, Google
one,
has
right?
One,
yeah.
But does it, I know you, they have one, but does, well, you know what's going to google.com to buy a USB adapter or yeah, USB-C to headphone
so
adapter.
You could buy it on Amazon, but
no, but bizarre. But Apple's selling this thing right now. What is their solution?
I'm sure you they have a third-party one.
You're sure they do? I mean, I'm almost
Apple, they probably are selling third-party, but you don't get one in it? Maybe they're not giving you one?
I don't know. We can look it up. But this thing is thick enough to support a USB-C adapter. It's thick enough to support a headphone jack. This thing makes no sense to me.
We're controlling your ports, Paul.
At some point, you just have to kind of push back at this stuff. Like, it's crazy.
I've always said, removing the headphone jack, I don't know what... I don't know.
I know.
You know what happens to me every day? So, I have an iPhone. I have my converter in with my headphone jack. I have it with my headphone. Too. And the thing, it actually starts... it has glitches with the audio at times. If I'm moving around, if I'm walking, it starts getting garbled.
Hold on a second. I can tell you're not talking about an iPhone. You must be talking about a Google or like a Android phone.
No. I'm talking about an iPhone.
You have glitches with an iPhone? I have never experienced that. Yeah.
Okay. So fine, whatever. It's a cheap piece of adapter. You could whatever. But the argument here is I like to sometimes listen to my music or listen to my iPhone, and my phone is dying at the same time. I plug it into one of those backup battery things. I can't do that unless I'm carrying another stupid dongle.
Right. That lets you do both.
That lets me do both. So I need an adapter to connect two devices. Its system is broken, Andrew. It's broken. It's annoying. It's a problem that I have and a small amount of people out there have. But
it's not a small amount of people. This is we're in crazy world now. You know, when OnePlus announced the OnePlus 6 6 months ago, Carl Pei said 80% of our users appreciate the fact that we're including the headphone jack in this product. And 6 months went by and they released a new version of it without one.
Yep.
What changed? Did their entire user base start going Bluetooth over this period of time? No. they decided they have to do what everyone else is doing, or they won't look like a credible player in this market. Yeah.
They seem
That's
antiquated.
It's insane. It's insane. So
I do want to talk about them after the break, though. I do think this is a very good device that OnePlus is releasing.
Okay.
And I'll tell you for a couple of reasons, but I don't know. Okay. I mean, anything else that stood out from Apple? A smart keyboard. Yes.
So the thing I was working on when we started, and the thing I'll eventually write, I think, is there's also another thing happening kind of in the background. They were really quiet about this at the show, and it's this. They're raising prices on everything, right? And by everything, I don't just mean like their products, like their big products, like the laptops, the computers, the iPads. They're raising prices on all the peripherals, right? So the 10.5-inch iPad Pro, if you bought a smart keyboard cover, was $160. Now it's $180. And if you get the bigger one, it's $200. The Apple Pencil before the upgrade was $99, which I think everyone would agree is a very expensive price for a smart pen. Now it's $129. Like, the entire ecosystem is getting more expensive. This thing was already the luxury, you know, platform du jour, and they've somehow found a way to make everything more expensive. Yeah. And I think what this is tied to is that Apple is actually losing market share in all of the markets it competes in, and that it really only has a limited growth opportunity from a unit sold perspective.
Unit to unit, yeah.
And that what they need to do is raise the average selling price of everything. We see that they were the first one to do the $1,000 cell phone last year with the iPhone 10, 10S, 10S Max are even more expensive this year. The new iPad Pro, more expensive. The new MacBook Air, more expensive.
Yeah,
and remember, when it comes to being more expensive, there's an apples to apples more expensive. The starting price is more expensive year over year, maybe. But there's also an expense that comes when, in the case of the Air, when the processor is no longer as powerful as the thing it replaced. They're going with like a crappier processor. There's an expense to that too, because you might have to spend more money to upgrade the other components to bring it up to snuff, or you can't. It's just a lesser product.
Well, let me play a game with you really quick. What do you think the maxed out iPad Pro price is?
What, $1,800?
$1,900. How about the Mac Mini? Yeah. What do you think about the Mac Mini?
Oh, I bet you could get up into the $2,500 range.
$2,500?
Yeah.
$4,200.
Okay, so that's because of 64 gigs of RAM then, right? Because yeah. I bet it's 64 gigs of RAM is a $1,400 option. I guess I didn't put that into my
but you were spot on if you use that price for the MacBook Air, because the MacBook Air is $2,600 spec'd out.
Spending $2,600 on a Y series processor based system is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But you know what, to you and I, right? To you and I, and probably majority of our audience, but how many people have no Mac consumer base knows what a Y series processor is?
That's the problem. That's the deception of it. What they described was a dual core Intel core processor, as if it were what we think of as when we hear a core processor. I am today or tomorrow will publish a review of an HP. Actually, it's an HP Envy X2, right? Yeah, the Intel version. Remember, this is the computer that came out earlier this year with the Qualcomm processor in it.
Yes,
22
yes.
hours of battery life. Right.
Yeah.
There's an Intel version of it, right? Now, the promise of the Intel version is obviously better performance, full compatibility with Windows apps, and acceptable battery life. But it's a Y series processor. The performance is terrible. It is 100% compatible with software. It's x64 software. The system only comes with 4 gigabytes of RAM. I saw something with this computer. I have a screenshot of it. I've never seen in Windows for 15 years, a long, long time, which is an out-of-memory error, right? Oh, when I tried to use Photoshop and Chrome at the same time. The battery life is horrific. 5 hours. No matter what I do, this is 5 hours real-world battery life. It's 5 hours streaming video. It's 5 hours using their optimized battery mode, blah, blah, blah. It's 5 hours. That's all it is. Not 22 hours like you get on the Qualcomm. That's what a Y series processor is. It's a piece of crap. And the problem is, when you come from a dual core U series processor on the old MacBook Air, and you hear
three generations behind,
you think you're getting the same thing. And I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting is it might literally be the same thing from a performance perspective.
It's quite possible,
Generational differences. I am very interested to see benchmarks of the new MacBook Air versus the old one. I bet they're really close. And that's not something that should be happening with a new computer that should be generations ahead from a processor performance perspective of the one you're replacing.
I'll tell you, going out in the real world for me, for the last 20 months and working with normal people, I mean, they're not normal whatsoever. I love them, but they're not normal. Everybody's nuts, right? But okay. I'm saying on a technical level, right? It's people that have their iPhones, they may have an iPad, they have a laptop at home, they rarely use the laptop, they only use it for watching Netflix, they don't have cable. Like, this is the group. These are the people.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about processors. Yeah. They don't understand processors. All they know is that this is new, so it's faster. This is a couple years old, so it's slower. They tolerate either. They tolerate slowness. Don't know better. They think that's how it is. They think
you can tolerate slowness if the product is $700, right? The problem is this is an expensive computer.
It's a luxury device. Expensive. Of course, yeah.
It's like you bought a Maserati and you pull it out and it has like a three-cylinder, hunk of crap. And what is going on here? It's a beautiful looking.
It has a tiny little Fiat motor inside.
Yeah.
Chugging away. Yeah.
You beep the horn. It's like meep, it doesn't make any sense.
Listen, but I think this is a generational transition that we're entering now, right? Where the consumer would rather have the bells and whistles on the outside rather than understanding that. Ooh. Okay, listen, but you're sacrificing the performance and the reliability and the length of usage. Because
I'd rather have $1,300 in my bank account.
Listen, me too. I could use.
I thought I was going to buy this thing. Even noting in my head the problems, like with the Y series processor, I'm like, I'm going to buy one of these things. And I went through it. I'm like, click, okay. I need the RAM. I can't do it.
Well, I had a discussion with somebody that has a MacBook Air a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like 3 months ago, but before this was being unveiled. And she has a much older MacBook Air, like an 11-inch, one of the old ones. And she's like, I'm thinking about getting a new laptop. What should I get? I'm like, you should get the new MacBook Pro. And she goes, well, I was looking at the MacBook Air. I go, why don't you want a MacBook Pro? She goes, I don't need a Pro device. I don't need a Pro. She goes, I don't need a Pro. It's the conditioning of the consumer. She thinks because she had a MacBook Air and she liked that's what she'll continue to buy. And that is who's going to buy this. The people that have 2012 MacBook Airs.
Look, we need to see. No one's seen what this is like in the real world. So we have to see that first. I mean, let's be fair there. But, Mac OS is probably not the pig that Windows is. It's probably more efficient. Apple obviously does a lot of work around that kind of stuff. It's okay, fine.
I'll agree with you, but my opinion is a little bit biased because I'm more in the Mac ecosystem than I'm in the Windows ecosystem. But I would probably tell you that, it's a little bit more refined because of the hardware.
I use a Mac. I mean, I have my own opinions about whatever. But the Y-Series thing to me is a little bit of an unknown on the Mac side. So you can look at what people have said about the MacBook. 12-inch one, and the complaints are pretty consistent. The performance is terrible, and the keyboard is terrible. And now we have the keyboard and the processor, and it's in a bigger screen. And I'm curious to see what people. I will need to wait until people who get these things early review them, and we'll see what they say. And I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to that. But they were very. If you go back, and I'm going to do this. I do this all the time with Apple and Google events too, Microsoft events. I'm going to watch this keynote thing again. And the one thing I vaguely remember, because I was busy riffing it on, Twitter or whatever, but wasn't taking notes. But the one thing they said a couple of times in the context of the MacBook Air was something like, or something exactly like, maybe if my memory is correct, that this computer was perfect for what they called everyday tasks. And this is the thing you were talking about, these normal people who they want to get email, they want to browse the web. They're not going to be playing like heavy duty video games because they can't. They're not writing code in Xcode and doing CAD/CAM programs and whatever. Sure. And listen, there is absolutely a market for that kind of a device. I think the old MacBook Air hit a real sweet spot for that. And I think all they had to do for this version was hit the core i5, U series. That's all they had to do. I would accept everything else they did at this price. Even I would accept it if they just did that, because I really am concerned for the longevity of a Y series based device. I just don't think it has legs, that if you handed this to a college student heading off for their first year of school, that it would last the 4 years. I don't think it would.
You know what?
And that's just,
I'll disagree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I see
Fine. Goodbye. No, I will not let that stand. Okay,
I'll disagree with you on that because I see a lot of much older MacBook Airs every day.
But that makes sense. Those were U series processors. That's what I'm saying. The MacBook Air that I have, that I've been so eager to get rid of, is a perfectly viable computer today. In fact, the only thing I would change about it, I'm semi desperate to change about it, is the display. If they could keep this exact body and just put a Retina display in it, that's it. It's perfectly viable otherwise.
I agree with you. Hey, I do want to take a moment and talk about our great sponsor, and that's, there we go. I can't do anything today. I am really rusty today, and that's Casper. Guys, these guys, I got a funny story. A friend of mine just moved, and the movers ruined their mattress. So they were like, they were asking me questions about Casper. I'm like a door-to-door Casper salesman in my real life now. You know, I have no job at this point. This is my job. I'm back to full-time podcasting. But I should start selling Casper mattresses door-to-door. And that's because Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its product line to create an exceptional comfort sleep experience one night at a time. You get $50 off a select mattress purchase by going to Casper.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew at checkout. And I'll tell you why these guys are great. It's a one-stop shop now. You know, they're not only about mattresses, by the way. I know we're talking about mattresses, but they have everything. They have duvet coverage. They sell the foundation. And the conversation for this, for me selling a Casper mattress, happened because they ruined the mattress. The movers, I have no idea what they did, but they ruined it. And she was looking at, there are a couple. They were looking at getting a new mattress, and they're like, what do we buy? A box spring, a foundation? Because of the homework that I've done on Casper, and the fact that I sleep on a Casper mattress, they ended up ordering a foundation. They ended up ordering the mattress. I'm sure a whole slew of things. And she, she called me. She's like, "Oh, thanks, because we weren't planning on buying anything." "Now you did. You bought everything." It's an unbelievable sleep experience. The Casper mattresses have a breathable design that lets you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. So you're not tossing and turning as much, and I could attest to that because I'm a horrible sleeper and I sleep like a baby on this thing. They also offer you a risk-free 100-day trial. Considering that we spend one-third of our lives on a mattress, it's very important that this is the mattress that you're going to commit to. This is the mattress that you actually enjoy sleeping on, and you weren't like me a couple years ago when I spent about $3,000 on a luxury brand mattress that was not for me, and I could do nothing about it. This is why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out and test it out for yourself. These guys are unbelievable. I absolutely love them, and I highly recommend this if you are purchasing a mattress. Go check out Casper. Casper.com/Andrew. That's Casper.com/Andrew. You get $50 off a select mattress purchase when you go to Casper.com/Andrew and enter the code Andrew at checkout. Paul has like 18 Casper mattresses. You walk in, Paul tells you, please take your shoes off. It's like a Persian den in there. They're pillows and Casper mattresses spread all around the house. Not like a Turkish
prison.
Not like a Turkish prison.
We do have three of them.
You do have three of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Which you absolutely love. By the way, somebody's messaging me. He goes, you do not sleep on a Casper mattress. I'm telling you right now, I sleep on a Casper mattress every single day. That is my mattress.
I reviewed my Casper mattress. You know, we have kids both have one, and so do my wife and I. That's three. That's all of us.
It's just Josh. He's messaging me. He doesn't know anything. Tell Josh. He knows nothing. Does Casper have pillows? I believe. Yeah, shut up, Josh. Casper does have pillows. You want to talk about this OnePlus event that they have, that they had also? The OnePlus 6T.
I'm a little concerned about this company. You earlier were saying how you were excited about this.
For one reason.
Yeah, the price.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the OnePlus 6T maps out to me a little bit like the MacBook Air, right? By which I mean, you have this thing they did before. What would you fix to make this thing better? And the two big ones for me, the two things that, for me personally, that I think keep it out of the flagship hunt are the camera, which is good, but not awesome.
Yeah.
And the lack of stereo speakers, which some people hear and they're like, who cares about stereo speakers? But there are other other features that that don't matter to me that matter to other people, like waterproof, ratings. They don't have that, whatever. I don't care about that. I'm not gonna go swimming with my phone. I don't care. So the camera system, as they move forward from the 6 to the 6T, is identical. It's the same hardware. In fact, right before the show started, a beta version of the next OnePlus operating system, which they call Oxygen OS, which is basically Android with their own stuff on it, came out for my OnePlus 6. It adds that nightscape mode that they were talking about for the new camera. It's going to be available in the old one too, because it's the same camera, same processor, same RAM, same storage, same basic form factor, same construction, same colors. They took away the headphone jack. Mm-hmm. They replaced the rear-mounted fingerprint reader, which was awesome,
and put with a
front-mounted in-display fingerprint reader, which everyone is saying is slow. I'll need to test that. But, I feel like these guys have an important role to play in the industry, and that they usually do play that role. And it's that thing that you were alluding to with the price, which is the kind of high-value thing. That you can offer flagship specs at kind of a mid-tier price, in this case about $550, compared to $850 for a Samsung, $1,000 for an iPhone. $550 is an amazing price.
It's you know what it is? It's I have a Samsung here, by the way. I don't want this phone anymore. Okay? For one reason. Because Google released a Pixel, the new Pixel.
Oh, but you don't want that one either, dude, because I sent both of mine back.
I've heard from everybody that I know that has it, they're complaining about it, and they're saying that it there's so many problems with it. I was looking at the camera specs alone, because that's a very important thing.
The camera is astonishing. But I would tell you, you've seen the Pixel 2 XL photos are just as amazing. So, yeah, it's a little slower. In my case, it's a lot slower. I don't know. I'm having serious performance problems. But, I went for a walk yesterday morning, took some photos of that kind of sideways light cutting through the trees, gorgeous. Like some of the, they look like, the photos look like I heavily processed them using some filter or something. They're not, they're just photos. It's astonishing. But, this is what, listen, I've had so many phones through here. I'm going to have more. I've got an iPhone coming this week. I've got a OnePlus 6T coming this week or next week. I'm not sure when it's arriving exactly. I've tried the Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus again, which is a freaking incredible phone. But, obviously there's some Samsung type issues. The Pixel 3 and XL, which I really wanted to work. And they're just a little too, the notch is too much. The reliability stuff is too much. The sound echoey weird vibration problem is way too much. I don't know what to do anymore.
This is why I'm going to tell you something. This is why people buy iPhones. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Exactly why. This is exactly why, because, by the way, I'm not putting blame on you. Okay. Right now, what I'm going to say, people like you and I come on here and we say, you know what? It has this problem. It has that problem. It's lacking this. It's lacking that. And nobody does that, and rightfully so, and I give them credit. Nobody does that with this. You know what? For all the glitches and the pain in the ass issues that this has, and the whatever it is, If there's a software issue, it's immediately corrected. If there's a hardware issue, which rarely there is on these devices, you go to Apple, you hand it in, and then you give them a great consumer report rating because they just gave you a brand new one. I can't walk into Samsung and say, here you go. There's a problem with this. The battery is draining. Verizon's not going to give a crap. Samsung.
By the way, I'm sorry. You are 100% right. There's one of the things we all have to kind of overcome as tech enthusiasts is this desire to kind of get wrapped up in the things that don't matter and kind of forget about the things that really do matter. You know, people can say that the iPhone is boring. It's like the Camry of smartphones, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of ignoring all the stuff that they get right, some of which you just mentioned. It's also ignoring some of the things that are just freaking great on this phone too, like the camera system, which is awesome, honestly. But this, you know, I just, you know, decades of struggling with Windows, you know, I have to say, as I get older, I really have this very strong desire to use something that just works sometimes, you know? And like I said, I was talking about the dongle thing on the iPhone. You know, I never had any problems with the iPhone dongle. I've had nothing but problems using dongles on Android phones. And I just the other day, I was driving on errands. It doesn't matter where, FedEx and some other places, and wanted to listen to a podcast in the car. My phone, for whatever reason, won't connect to the Bluetooth in my wife's car. So I got to plug the dongle in, go in through the line-in port. And as the phone is sliding up and down on the seat next to me as I'm braking or accelerating or whatever, the audio's cutting out because of the freaking dongle on this thing. And it's like,
I get it. Yeah. I get it. But here's where I defend this. There is, if for most people out there, a lot of people don't really give a shit how, if they have the top one or two camera on their phone.
Right.
They don't see the things that we see. This phone is super fast. It has a Snapdragon 845 processor. It has it has plenty of RAM. It has storage they're not going to be affected by lack of storage. They could spend $545 on this thing and get almost a flagship phone. You cannot do that going into Apple. You cannot do that going into Samsung. You're going to buy something that's pretty old if you do that. Sure. And you just pop a SIM in this thing and you're good to go. That's where I praise them for this because it gives you at least an option to not buying a piece of shit phone.
Yeah, no, they've often filled this role. Google used to do this, right? The Nexus 5 was like this. The Nexus 5X and the 6P were very much like this.
Yeah.
When I heard that they were going to do Pixel phones, I got very excited. Here we go. We're going to do it again. But they, unfortunately, the first two gens of Pixel, they've jacked up the prices. They've been trying to do things like Samsung and Apple do, which I don't think Google can do because they're not Samsung or Apple. You know.
By the way, the notch is smaller on this also.
Yeah, the notch is
smaller. From the 6.
But, you know, again, each of these, you know, the look, if you are, I love the whole vibe behind OnePlus. It's got kind of a Mozilla feel to me, right? It's they're going to save the world by doing the right thing. We're not ripping people off. I like it. If you're thinking about getting one of these devices, I would strongly recommend looking at the 6 today over the 6T, right? And I say that without having used the 6T yet. There are many reasons for this, but among them are the lack of a headphone jack on the new one, the superiority of the rear-mounted fingerprint reader on the old one, and the fact that the camera system hasn't changed, so you're not really gaining anything from going to the new one. You'll save a little bit of money, and you're still getting the same basic phone. The specs are all the same, 845, 6 or 8 gigs of RAM, 64 to 256 gigs of storage. It's all the same storage, the same speed storage. You're losing, you know, some other things. I mean, it's like small things, like something I don't care about. There's some phones have like the notion of a notification light, so that when the phone's sitting down on a desk or a surface and it's off and there's nothing on the screen, if a notification comes in, you can have a little light that kind of subtly throbs up there at the top. That's been a big feature of OnePlus. It's available in the 6. They've taken it out of the 6T because that notch is so small, there's no room for it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you may not care about that. Like, I don't care about it, but I know some people do. A lot of the people who are kind of faithful to this platform, to this company, like some of the quirky little things that they add. And you should just, you know, I would just research this before you make a purchase. I'd also look at some reviews, you know, of the new one, and just understand what you're losing in some cases when you go to the newer device.
Yeah. Paul, we are running out of time, but I do want to do a bonus show and discuss what's been going on in my life. Would you like to join?
Okay.
I want to talk to everybody about it. Guys, if you are watching this, you could stay tuned and continue watching, because you can watch the bonus show live whenever we do it for absolutely free. But if you want to support the show, you want to support me, and I could use all your support at this time, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You could fund us $1 per show, as little as $1 per show, and you are helping out a great cause. People are asking, did we discuss the Mac Mini? Yes, we did. We discussed the Mac Mini. We discussed everything. Next week, we're going to have a little bit of a change to the show. I got to talk to Paul about that. A lot is in the works. I promise you, it's now time. This is the resurrection of Zarian.
Wow. Yeah. Zarian 2.0.
I got drunk and I came up with that the other day.
This we call is you Zarian here.
Zarian. The Zarian is here. I promise you we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff. For all things Paul, go to therot.com, one of my favorite websites. Paul, actually, you had one of the best, easy to understand explanations of this Apple event today. You had them in different articles. You had them posted separately. I was able to go through all of them.
Mahedi did that.
Mahedi did that. And he, I have to tell you, I like him. He has a good head of hair, that kid.
Yes, he does.
Good head of hair. Yes. You should know that.
I think secretly we hired him because of his similarity to you.
I think so. Listen, I wasn't available. I got it. Listen, he has a beautiful head of hair, and I want him to know that. And I actually, I look at him, and I admire his hair.
Yes.
I do. I go to throwout.com, and you have the little photo of him on the side, and I go, man, that's beautiful hair.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Listen, it sells. Hair sells, Paul. Listen, forget about your sales team. Just get people with great hair. That's all it takes. People just throw money at you. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. You can subscribe to our podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available, and I believe we're going to be on Spotify in the coming weeks. It's submitted. We should be on there now. I got to email them back just to follow up and see what's going on with that. And that's it for this week. Stay tuned. Guys, listen to the post show. I promise you it'll be good. See you next time.